All right, shall we start? All ready? Welcome to IMT2261, the database course. I hope all of you are here to attend the same course. If somebody is here not to listen to this course, then you are at the wrong place. Okay. I was expecting a big number actually today, but maybe due to timings, it's too early after summer to wake up so early in the morning and come here. I had difficulties too, but okay, we will come to know little later. All right, so we will start with the course introduction. What are the learning objectives, what we are going to learn during this course, where all the contents or the material related with the course is available, our class timing, how the course is organized, what are the assignment expectations, or what are the exams, what type of exam is going to be conducted, and how you can consult me, all those things we are going to discuss. So basically, after finishing this course, we expect you to know about the database systems. And we expect you that you can develop or create your own database system, databases. And we will also learn a little bit about the XML. So mostly we are going to emphasize on relational database systems. Many of the words which I am speaking, you may find it a little bit not knowing, or you haven't heard before. But that's what we are going to learn. So many of the things today may seem that it's something else. It's not, because I know you are from three different groups. Some of you might have heard about the databases, relational databases, or might have worked, but some of you might be totally clueless about this, and that's fine. We don't expect you to have any basic knowledge or any prerequisite before that, so we are starting from the beginning, so don't worry about that. So we will give you an idea about relational database management system, and with the help of one of the relational database management system, that is MySQL, you are going to create your own databases. And then we are going to learn about the XMLs, which is basically not the relational. Are we going to have this background music? So we will learn about XML, which is another way of storing the data, which is not relational, but which is unstructured or semi-structured. We will study what is the difference between the two. So these are the topics we are going to cover. Always, most of the course start with the introduction or basic concepts, which is the most boring, right? All the theoretical stuff, history, what happened so far, which most of us are not interested. But unfortunately, we all have to go through this. So please bear with me, first week. It's going to be little boring and lots of theory. But I'll assure you, from second week itself, we are going to do something which is very, very practical. So what we will learn, we will do it. So it will be easy to visualize and easy to understand. So just have patience for today and Friday. Then everything will be fine. So we will learn about the basic concepts, and then we will start the process of how to create a database. So we will learn about, this is a process, many steps, usually 6-7 steps are required, and we are going to organize this course in those steps. How do we first get the requirements from the customers for whom we are creating the database? For example, if we are creating the database for hospital or for the airline or for traffic or for a bus company, so we need to create the requirements. And then we make some models out of those requirements to check. And we directly don't create the database inside the computer. We first create the model. So just to check if there is any problem there or not. Once we are sure, then we create inside the computer. So all that things we are going to learn here. We will start with the conceptual data modeling. And then we will do the relational model, where we are going to create the database with the help of MySQL. And we will learn one language of database management system, that is SQL, which is structured query language. You can see it is written at the fifth point, SQL. And we will study a little bit about the security issues. And then we will move to the XML, which is another way of storing the data, not in the form of relational, but in another form. So we will basically learn two ways to create our database or store the data. So after completing the course, I expect you to be able to do all these things. You might have already read this on the course description, so I'm not going into the detail of this. So basically, we are learning a conceptual model, we are learning relational model, and we are learning XML and SQL. So you will have the skills after finishing this course that you'll be able to create your own databases with the help of relational model. And you will be able to store the data with the help of XML also. And you will be proficient in SQL, which is the language of the database management system, that is structured query language. So basically, we will have lectures twice in a week, today, Wednesday, from 8 to 10, and Friday in the noon time, right? You all are maybe aware. Then we have two sessions of practice, that is the lab sessions. All of you are only required to attend only one of that, because that will be kind of repeating. But you have to attend both the lecture sessions and one of the lab session. And I'm sure your timetable is already organized, right? It is divided into two groups, so in your timetable you can only see one of the lab, right? Some of you have lab today. How many of you have lab today? Is there anyone? At MU, somewhere in the Musta building? Yes. So we have one lab today, and another lab we have tomorrow morning, right? Which is here, somewhere in the A building. There will be 7 assignments, and you are required to pass 6, at least 6, to sit in the final exam. We will have a 5-hour written exam, which is paper and pencil. And the exam is on 19th of December. If you see, you might have already... Did you see the course page on Blackboard? This year we have moved to Blackboard from Fronter. So it may be a little bit different for some time, but then we will get accustomed to this. So this is our course front page. And you can see here, the page is under construction. And it will remain under construction throughout the semester. So please keep visiting frequently, because I'm going to add as we will move. We have to move everything from the Fronter, so it's not totally prepared. So whenever we will move to different topics, I'm going to keep on adding the stuff there. So the course description is available here. Have you seen this? Okay. There are these folders which are important for you. Contact person is me. Those who cannot be here and want to have an appointment, this is my Skype ID. We can have Skype session, provided we set up an appointment in advance, right? Which fits my schedule as well as the one who is seeking an appointment. We will have 2 teaching assistants, and these are their emails. You can contact them, and we will try to answer as soon as possible in case of any problems or any confusion about any topics. Exam will be in English. Actually, this whole course will be in English. But that's the only option. I'm trying to learn, but it's still a long way till I can learn even basic Norwegian. It's more difficult at my age than your age. So I'm trying my best, but it seems now, after becoming a teacher, I'm no longer a very good student. But still I'm trying. The exam details are available here. The link is provided on the course information as well as in today's introduction slides. And this is actually from the previous one. So you need to change to this semester. And as you can see right now, the dates and anything else is not specified yet. You are only allowed to use dictionary during the exam, nothing else. I'll try to provide you an appendix so that you don't have to remember many of the things which will be required for the course. But many of the things you need to remember, like SQL statements, how to form a statement. But some very, very theoretical thing, if needed, I'll provide in the appendix. But most of my exams are not very theoretical. They are very, very practical, so you need to just understand the concepts. So this is about the course information, and if you go here, this is our syllabus, the books which we are using. So this is the Fundamental of Database Systems by Almasri and Nawathe, 7th edition. If you have little bit older edition, it's also fine. If you can find in the library or you don't want to buy, it's fine because it's not changed too much. And only maybe the chapter numbers are different, but you can still find all the things which we are covering. Or if you have any other database book, then also it's fine, because we are just covering the basic thing, and most of the database books cover most of the things which we are going to cover in this particular course. And then we have another for the XML, although XML chapters are there in the first book. So if you need to learn in detail, then I'll advise you to buy second one. Otherwise, I'll provide you most of the material, and there are chapters related with the XML in the first book itself. So it depends on you. And there are lots of online resources to learn, because these are languages. These are the things where you need to learn. So for example, for SQL, you can go to sqlcourse.com. It's very nice. Organized in the form of chapters, topics, so you can learn gradually. Then there is W3 School. You can go to W3 Schools for SQL as well as for XML. And it has a very nice basic things, and you can learn there, and if there is any problem, although I'm going to provide you all the material, but as a secondary source, you can use this also. Because sometimes books can be a little bit boring. But we all have to study anyway, right? So these are some additional online resources. I'll try to put more things so that sometimes we like one particular web resource and other we don't like. So I'll try to put as many as possible so that you will find at least one which is of your taste. And at the down part, you can see the weekly schedule. Sorry. So every week what we are going to cover. If you will see, our textbook is very thick. So don't be afraid, we are not going to read all of that. So in the last column, you can see what exactly sections from which chapter we are going to cover. So you exactly, if you are preparing for the exam or something, you exactly know which particular sections in which chapters we are going to cover. Because it's a very thick book and it contains everything from basic to intermediate level to advanced, right? So you can know from there, and for the initial many weeks, we are going to use the book one, which is the Almasri and Nawathe, Fundamental of Database Systems. But later on, for the last 3 weeks, we are going to use the XML book. So you can see here from book 2, which chapters we are going to cover. And all the slides and the lecture recording will be available to you. So for the lecture material, this is the folder you have to go through. So right now, it's this week is already available. I will make sure that every week will be available before the week starts. So you can have your own copy before you come to the class, and you can take notes if you wish, additional things. And similarly for the lab work, this is the week 34. So today and on tomorrow, we will have this, the basic introduction, what we are going to learn. There are many things which are not common between the lecture and the lab. So we will be covering all the theoretical topics and the basic concept here. But learning the language, that is SQL, you are going to learn to the lab. So we will have some sessions in the lab which can help you during the assignments. But mostly it's about learning SQL and XML. And here we will learn the whole process, the concepts and everything. So you need to attend one of the lab. And then assignments will be posted here. Right now there is nothing, but it will be posted by Friday. And there are 7 assignments, so approximately you have 2 weeks to do one assignment. Don't be late, and I'll give you the instruction where to upload your assignment. Assignments will be in Teams. We will talk about it in a moment. So lectures are there, you already know the room numbers. They are not same throughout all the weeks. They are changing, so please be aware where you are going. But I think Friday's session is always in the same room. Lecture and lab slides for each week will be available. I just showed you on Blackboard. Slides are not notes, so you have to take some notes, because this is a very practical course. We have lots and lots of example, and even if I want to, I cannot put everything on the slides. So there will be lots of material. I'm going to use this Blackboard very, very often. So you need to take your notes. All the examples related with every topic will be solved here. So it will be better if you have paper and pencil. And it also helps in understanding the concept. Seeing what is there, listening to the teacher, and as well as writing something. It helps us to understand the topic well. So please note down. Lecture recording will be available at... Are you aware of this? So it will be available there. Everyone is aware about this, or should I show you? This link? No? Okay. Lab sessions will be in these places. But I think for the Thursday, the first week is at 254, and then it's changing to, as far as I remember, to 255. So please check before you come. You are expected to attend at least one practice or lab session per week, as I said before. This is my office in the A building, first floor, ground plus first. Actually, in Norway it is called second floor, right? Second floor. And my email address, it is also available on the Blackboard page. Most of the consultation we will do during the practice time or the lab time. But I am available outside those times also. You need to just send me a mail and we can fix up a time. The books we have already discussed. These are the other resources I already showed you during the when we were discussing the looking at the Blackboard page. The tools which we are going to use in this particular course, we are basically going to use MySQL database management system and a visual tool, that is MySQL Workbench. through which we are going to write the queries. For the conceptual modeling, we are going to use a ER modeling tool. The name is Creately. It's an online tool available here. And for the XML part, we are going to use XML Copy Editor. Don't worry if you cannot install by yourself, because the first week we are going to help you in installation for MySQL and MySQL Workbench. And as we will move to the different topics, we will help you to establish all these tools in your computer, both for Windows as well as for the Mac users. So this is the introduction. Do you have any questions? Any questions? No questions? So either you understood everything or nothing was understood. There are no questions only in two cases. Either everything is so hazy that we don't know what to ask, or everything is so clear that there is no question remaining. I hope it's the better case. I hope English is not a problem for any one of you. Is there? If I'm speaking fast, because sometimes I just go with the flow and I don't see if anybody can understand, please stop me. Right? I can repeat the stuff if you don't understand. It's better to stop me if something is going just somewhere else and going from here. So just stop me if something is you can't understand, or I'm talking whatever which cannot go here. So just I'm very patient and I can repeat those stuff again and again. Don't worry about that. So please don't be afraid to ask, and don't hesitate in stopping me. So today we are going to, as I said before, we are going to start with the basic concept, the little bit boring part. So this is the agenda for today's lecture. We will basically see what is a database, what is database management system, what is database system, what is data. So we will start with the basic thing, and we will going to learn all of those things. What are the characteristics? What are the advantages of using a database system, and when not to use databases? Because everything, if it has some positive points, it has some negative points as well. So, what are the database applications? Can you give me some examples of some of the database systems you are using in your day-to-day life? Yes? Yeah, I was about to say that because we all are using. So Facebook is an example of database system. So what is a database first? Basically, behind, we see the front end of the Facebook, isn't it? Where we have all the posts created by our friends who are in our friends list. And we see a very nice visual layout. But in the back, there is a database. So what kind of things are there in the back? In the Facebook, they must be storing somewhere all our users, all the users who are using the Facebook, and their password, etc. Isn't it? That's why when we enter, log in, we give our username and we give our password, it checks from somewhere, isn't it? They must be storing somewhere. So it checks whether our password and username is correct. And if it is correct, then we log in. So the Facebook, whoever has created, they must be storing all the user details somewhere in the system. So that is part of the database. So there must be some table somewhere related with users where they have all our details. The username, the password may not be as it is, maybe it is in encrypted format, not in the format we type in, just to ensure the security and safety. And we put our birth date, isn't it? Some of us will also provide the phone numbers and many, many more details about us. And this is actually true for most of the things which we are using online. Whether it is the Gmail or any other emails, or whether it is Twitter, or whether it is for online shopping, maybe you are using some of the websites common here, Amazon, many of the places, it is the same. So imagine your personal information scattered at many places, including your birth date, and most of the personal details, not at one place, but many, many places on the internet. But many of the things, for the security reasons, they keep it encrypted in some format that it cannot be readable without the, if you don't have the key. So only few people can read it. But still it is somewhere. And we always hear these stories of hacking and everything. So personal details are stolen sometimes. And it is not only true for these online systems, but imagine about our social security system, our hospital system. They have all our details, right? So they are also storing somewhere. All of the time we visited the hospital, all the tests we went through, the results of those tests. So all this is available to the doctor. How? Through their computer. So they are storing it somewhere. So they have a database at the back there as well. So all our details are there. So this is a very small example of database. Actually, it's not as simple as this. There are hundreds of these type of interrelated tables behind Facebook, because we are posting many of the things, right? And when we go back, those posts are still there. So it means they are stored somewhere. And not only our posts, our friends' posts and their friends' posts. And it has some network also where we can only see our friends. So they must be storing somewhere who are our friends. So some kind of network must be there. So if this is Deepti, which is me, they might have all my friends here. And for them, they also have some friends. So some kind of tree or connection is there. Otherwise, how do they know who are my friends and whose post to just show to me and not other posts? So they have some this kind of structure inside, which is very, very complicated there. And then maybe this person has this as a friend also, and some other people also as a friend. So it's kind of a web, very, very complex web they are storing there. So all this is database. So this is hierarchical, where we have tree-like structure. Some of the database follow this type of structure. And this is relational way, where we store everything in the form of tables. But this is not a single table. There are multiple tables which are interrelated. If you don't understand now interrelated, we will learn how they are interrelated later on. So initially, traditionally, we have the databases which can only store numbers and text, nothing else. Can you give some examples? For example, library. Earlier, now we have actually everything there, CDs and pictures and audios and visuals. But earlier, when there were just the books and it was a very basic system, it could only store the numbers, which was the ISBN of the books in the form of numbers, and maybe the name of the books, the authors, the edition, price, which is again numbers. So the basic information. So earlier in the traditional databases, it could only store the numbers and the textual information. But later on, nowadays, we can store many more things, not only numbers and text. For example, the Facebook. We have text here. We have the numbers also stored. What else we are storing there? We have images, pictures are also stored. We have video, we have audio. So all the type of data in whichever format, most of the formats are supported nowadays. So in Facebook, we have all kind of data. Data in the form of numbers, text, or audio, video, images, many forms. Then some of you are from GIS. Location-specific data. We can nowadays store location-specific data also. We can have the longitude, latitude. We have time series, data dependent on time, as it changes when the time changes. So that is also possible these days. We have data warehouses these days, which is actually huge amount of data, which is stored for decision-making purposes. Many of the good big organizations are using it. We have real-time databases, which updates the data in real-time, and all the users can see this updated data in real-time. So it has to be very, very fast. And many other applications. So we will start with what is a database, what is data, mini world, database management system, and database system. Can you all see this part of the board, down part also? Because yesterday I had the lecture and this camera can only capture this much. So we have asked them to move the camera, but till then it is moved, and I'm sure that it is moved. I'm going to just write on this side. Okay, so let's start with data. What is the data? It is a known fact that can be recorded and have an implicit meaning. This is the theoretical formal definition. But let's see what is the data in practical terms. Nowadays we have actually phone, but earlier when we didn't have the phone, how we were storing our friends and their numbers? When at that time, actually you people might have born in the time of mobile phones. I am little bit ancient, and at that time we used to have small diaries, right? Or we have some papers where we were storing, that was the landline time, so we were just storing their numbers and names. So we have a small something. Can you see, or should I write bigger? Bigger, right? No, it's fine. Okay. This is a data. Because it is a known fact that can be recorded. Fact about my friends and their number. And I can record it. And it is meaningful. It has to be meaningful. It may not be meaningful for you, But for one of the user like me, it is meaningful because it makes some sense to me. It may not make sense to other people because this is my friend's data, right? So it should make sense for some group of users or some user. If I write something like this is again the string of text and numbers, but is it meaningful? For me, it's not. Most probably for you also, it's not meaningful. Maybe it makes sense for somebody, some kind of code or something, but it's not a data for us because it doesn't say anything, it doesn't give us any information. So this is a simplest form of data. Now, what is a database? It is a collection of related data. So each one of them is actually datum, which is kind of used for singular thing. And data is the plural. So this is a data. So what is a database? So each of this table can be called database. All three together can also be called database. So it is basically collection of related data. What do we mean by related data? For example, if we consider this table, we call it table or relation. If we consider this table, this is a related data. How it is related? If we see in this format, if we see, I'm looking for another color. Okay. If we see each row, every row, then what this does tell us? This gives you information about a particular course, isn't it? So this is related to a particular course. So this is related. If we see like this way, then they may be courses offered in IMT. All of the courses offered by IMT. So they all are related to IMT department. Again, this is a related data. So this can be considered, or this fulfills the definition of a database. So this alone can be called as database. Just like this alone can be called as database because it is again collection of related data. If you see row-wise, This gives us data about a particular person, one of my friend. All of these rows. And if we see like this, again they are the collection of my friends. So again this is related data. If we see here, all the students who are part of IMT department or related department or NTNU Jovik. This is the list of all the student. And row wise, we have data about a particular student. And here we have the third table, which gives us information about which course is taken by which student. Because this gives us details about all the courses offered. This gives us details about all the students who are registered in this particular campus. But how will we know which student is taking which course in which semester? So we need to have something like that, which is here. Maybe there is more details here, semester, year also. Maybe here, which grade they got. So some this kind of data is there in our student information system also. All the courses which are offered during different semesters, all the students who are registered here during which term, and which student has taken which course and got which grade in which semester, that is also stored somewhere. And many, many more information. I am just showing you a very simplest form. So there is a database which we all are using, which is used in our campus to know that. That's why I know. I have in the blackboard the list of all the students, where it is coming from. It's coming from somewhere like this table. It is populated from there. So each of these tables can be considered as a database, and they together, all three of them together, is also a database. How does it fulfill the definition of related data? They are related. How they are related? The tables are related with the help of common columns. Which are columns? These are columns. So if there is common column between the tables, then that is related tables. Is there a common column here? Can you see? Are there any common columns? The name of the column may or may not be same. It's okay. Can you find? There is no common column between these two. Is there? Is there a same column? No. Is there something common between this and this? Yes. So, this table is related with this table through this common column. And any other connections you can find? Can you find any other connection between the third table and the first table? Student ID. So these two tables are related. So are now three of them interrelated? These two are not directly related, but this one is related with this. And this one is related with this. So they are interrelated. So all three together is also can be considered as a database. And the same you are going to make in your assignment. In that is actually the project work, which consists of many, many steps. So the same you are going to make for a particular application area, which will be multiple tables interrelated. Okay? So, it is a collection of related data. Mini world, some part of the real world about which data is stored in a database. For example, in a university database, we are storing details about students, courses, which student is taking which courses, which grade they have got. So, all this is actually coming from the real world. Students exist. Course exists, may not be physically, but in an abstract form. There are courses taught by some teacher. You are getting a grade. So all this information is coming from the real world and we are storing in the database. Same is with Facebook. Whatever is stored there is coming from the real world. We all are users. Our data is there coming from the real world. And our pictures, our videos, posts which we are doing. So that all is coming from the real world, part of the real world. For example, if you are going to choose to make your project in hospital, again the data is coming from the real world. It's part of the real world. That's what we are doing in the database. Because the real world is keep on changing, so you need to have some mechanism to reflect those changes in your database. For example, if this is the data again coming from the database, all these friends exist in the real world, their phone numbers is there. If the phone number changes, it will not be remain static, will it? No, the phone number of the friends may change. So you need to reflect those changes in the database or in our phone diary, isn't it? If we won't change it, then in the real world, the information is changed. In your database, it's not changed. So your database is obsolete, old, not giving the right information, correct information. And that's why you won't be able to contact your friend. That's why whenever we are making the databases, we have to make sure that it keeps on changing as the things in the real world changes. Because we are storing information about the real world and real world keeps on changing. Maybe the rate with which the information is changing may vary from application to application. Like in Facebook, it keeps on changing every few seconds. Someone is posting something or doing something. In the patient information system, may not be that fast. In the airline, again, very fast. We are booking our tickets, buying our tickets. Many more people are using. More flights are generated, etc., etc. But some of them may not be that fast, like library. Or there may be some other which are not that, for example, social security. I mean, maybe in a month, new people are added in the social security. New people coming from outside Norway are added. So it's not changing as fast every minute, every second. Right? But whatever is the rate of change, all the database should have the mechanism to make those changes reflected in the database. Are you getting disturbed from outside? Should I close the door? Or you want to see outside, maybe a good distraction? Oh my God. How it is closed? It's not closing. Yeah. Yeah. Can we close it during the class time? Have you seen it closed? Can someone try? Okay. So we talked about data. We talked about, this is your way of reminding me that it's the time for break. Is it? Okay, let's take a break. We will be back at, sorry, I took 2 minutes of yours. 9:15, we'll be back. Ready? Shall we start? All right, so before the break, we learned about what is a data, some fact from the real life which we can store and which is meaningful. And then we learned about what is a database, which is a collection of related data. Now we are going to learn what is a database management system. So I showed you some relations or tables which we need to create inside computer, right? So that we all can share at the same time. So how to create it, how to populate it with data, and if later on we want to add more data or delete some data or modify some data, how can we do it? So all these tasks are accomplished with the help of database management system. It's a software system which helps us to create the tables. So creating means how many tables will be there. For example, our database consists of two tables. So we have to create two tables, specify the name, for example, employee, department. How many columns will be there in each of the table? For example, employee ID, employee name, department number. And in this we have department number, department name, maybe location of department. So suppose we decided all these three columns in both the tables. What kind of data can be stored inside each of the column? For example, this can only have numbers 11 digit long. This can have characters, maybe 20 characters long. This is again number, maybe 2 digits. This is again number, 2 digits. Character, maybe 20 character. Character, maybe 30 characters. So this is like creating a table. So that we accomplish with the help of this software system. And in this course, we are going to use one of the database management system, which is MySQL, which is a relational database management system, which will help us to create these tables. Once we have created the table, there is something missing here. It's no longer related. So we need to establish the relation between these two tables. That we do with the help of primary key and foreign key. So that relationship needs to be established. Again, there are some statements with the help of which we can relate these two tables. Once the structure, these table structure is created, then we need to put the data inside. So this is, we did the create. Now we can insert the data. So we can put maybe so this is one row added. We can add multiple rows with the help of insert. If something is, suppose there is some employee which is gone, so we may need to delete that. Again, we do from with the help. Or suppose the location of one of the department changes from Oslo to Jovik, we can update that. And there is many more thing we can do. This is just some of the example. So the database management system helps us in doing all these tasks. Creating the tables, populating it with data. If later we want to delete, we can delete. If we want to update, we can update. If suppose we need one more column here, we can do this. So many things we can do with the help of a database management system. And with the database management system, there is always a language. So all those statements we will do with the language of MySQL, Relational Database Management System, and it is actually common whichever relational database management system you are using. There is a standard language that is called SQL, Structured Query Language. So during the lab, you are going to learn this language. So today we are going to help you to install MySQL, and then we will learn how to do all these statements with the help of SQL. So all these statements are in the SQL, which is the language of this database management system. And the last is, what is a database system? Database system is basically So the database management system, together with the data we have created and multiple users have created, because it has the capacity to have multiple databases at the same time. So there it is on a server or multiple servers, and I can create one for the hospital, somebody else can create for airline, somebody else can create for maybe a bus company, so it can hold many different databases. So for a particular user, the database management system with the data they have created, plus the application programs. What is these application programs? We know the language. We will learn the language SQL, so we can do all these things with the statements of SQL. But what about the people who are sitting on those offices? In the airline office or in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses, do they know SQL? They don't know SQL, and still they need to create new patients' records. They need to update patients' record. They may have to delete some of the stuff. So how do they do it? They do with the help of an interface the programmers create for them. Just like we are using an interface when we are using the Facebook database. There is a page, front end, created for us, and we do everything. We create a new post. We can delete some of our images or photos we have posted before. So all these things we are doing with the help of some clicks, mouses, right? So that interface is created for us. Those are the front end or application programs. So that together, all of them together is called a database system for a particular application. Like for hospital, for social interaction like Facebook, for airline, they have another database system. So these three things together is called database systems. This is a simplified database environment. And outside in the top part, can you see users and programmers? So there are novice users who don't know SQL, like people sitting in hospitals, airline offices, etc. Or they can be programmers. We can manipulate or change the data with the help of the language, programmers. Other users can access it through the interface like we are doing with Facebook. So we can generate the query with the help of SQL, or we can have the application programs through which we can access the database. So we put our commands like creating something, deleting something, updating something through that, and it goes to the DBMS software. And then somewhere there is our database stored, so it gets our query, try to find out what we are trying to do or access, and it gets us from the database. But there is one more important thing here, which is called metadata, which is very important. That is actually data about data. So what is this data about data? Suppose these are the tables which are created. Then, inside the database management system, there are hundreds of tables. Can we access all of them? Can you access everything in the Facebook? So what you are allowed to access? Only the posts which you have made or the posts made by your friends. But there are other posts there as well. But can you see it? No, because you don't have the permission to see it. They are not your friends' post. Now, next thing is, can you delete everything there? What are the things you can delete? You can delete your own post. You can delete your own videos. You can delete your own images. Can you delete your friends' things? No, because although you can see them, but you cannot delete them. So all this information, who is the owner of which data? Who has which kind of permission on which data? All that information is there in the metadata. So every table which is created, there is an entry there in the metadata. Who is the owner? Who else has the permission to see it? Who can delete it? Who can edit it? So all this information about every data which is generated is there in the metadata. So when you put a query, if you give a command, the database management system first checks from the metadata, do you have access? Can you see it? Can you delete it? Can you update it? If you have the permission, then only it will retrieve the data from the database and show it back to you. If you don't have the permission, then it will give you error messages, like we many times get when we are working on the online system, that you don't have permission to that, or access denied, something like that. So that's why this metadata is very important. It keeps details about all the data which is generated. And although it is shown that it is on two different hard disks, it is not usually. It can be on the same, it can be on the multiple. Even if the database is very, very huge, it can be on multiple. The database itself can be on multiple disks or multiple servers. So we like in the case of Facebook, do you think all the data is on one particular server? Is it possible? Is it practical? Suppose they keep all the servers in United States and somebody accessing from India. Will it be practical? Imagine the network traffic which will be generated. So they have data at multiple locations. And we usually connect to the server which is more nearest to us. But they have the copies of the data also. If the server which is near to us is down because of some reasons, we can still get the data from the farther server, but in more time. The response will not be that fast. So all these big companies have multiple servers situated at different locations, and usually we connect to the nearest one to us. But even if it doesn't work, we will be still be able to get the data from a little bit farther server. But still we will be able to get it. So this is their way of handling the response time issue, how fast we can access. And in case if one is not working, we should still be able to get it. So there is multiple copies of the same data at different places. So all this information about all the generated data is in the metadata. Every table, every data which is created or updated, the information, who can view, who is the owner, who can update, who can delete, is there in the metadata. Usually the owner is the person who has created it. An owner has all kind of permission. View, update, delete, modify, everything. But the other people may have limited access. So the typical database management system functionality, as I just told you, discussed before, define a particular database in terms of its data type, structure and constraints. So define how many tables will be there, what's their name, how many columns, what's the name of the column, what kind of data can be stored in every column, that is called data types. What will be the maximum length of data that can be stored, for example 2 here. Is there any constraints, for example disconnections, or there are other constraints, we will talk about it. All this is called defining a database, which is actually just creating the structure in which we are going to load the data later on. And then construct and load the initial database concept. Like initially, we put one data, one row here and two rows here. That is called loading the data, initially putting the data. And then manipulating as long as it is in the use, because the data keeps on changing in the real world. So we should be able to manipulate later on. So in manipulation, there are three types of operations we can do. We can retrieve. We are not changing anything. We are just viewing it. Or we can do modification. We can insert new data. This is called modification. Or we can delete. For example, this row is deleted. Or we can update, like change Oslo to Jovik. Then, because in most of the database system, it is multi-user systems. Multiple users are using the contents at the same time. Like in the case of Facebook. Many people are using it at the same time, trying to access the same data at the same time. So, the database management system helps us in that also. For example, imagine a situation in airlines, Norwegian Airlines. We want to go from Oslo to Amsterdam. There is a flight, two people are accessing the database at the same time. There is only one seat left in that particular flight, and both are trying to reserve that. And they both can view that there is one seat available. And they are trying to book it at the same time. Can the database management system give the seat to both of them? No. So there should be some mechanism to deal with those issues. That only, although they both are seeing, but only one will be able to reserve it or book it. So there should be some kind of control there that two or maybe five people are viewing the same record at the same time and trying to book it. So it should not allow, because many people, if they are trying to view, update, change the database, there are many, many more complexity. How to deal with that? So we don't have to deal with that. Database management system deals with that on our behalf. We don't need to take care of that. It does it automatically. Although it looks that it is a very small system, it is a very huge system which has many, many subsystems. So many parts take care of this concurrency issue. Concurrency means multiple people are trying to update and view the data at the same time. So there can be some conflicts. How to handle those conflicts? It's handled by one part of the database management system, which is called concurrency control subsystem. Again, it's a huge database, so we need to have some backup, right? If we have some files on our system, we can lose it. We can be a little bit sad for a few days. And then we will try to generate the same data and we will make peace with that okay, we lost it. We didn't take the database. But suppose if the airline company, their server is broken totally. Or if suppose the Facebook, there will be lots of complaints, right? Or suppose the banks, They have the data about all our money and everything is there. If suppose everything is lost, something happens. So how to take care of that? So from time to time, they keep the backup. And if something happens, they can recover the data from their backup. Now it's normally not done manually. It's done by the database management system, depending on how you set, periodically. And if something happens, something negative happens, it can be recovered back from those backup up to a certain extent. Some part can still be lost depending on how much is saved and how much is not. And that is taken care by another part of the database management system, which is called recovery subsystem. So it takes care of those issues. Then there are other functionality. Only authorized person can access it. For example, our NTNU system. Can everybody access it? No, we need to have a username and password from the school. Then only we can access. Facebook can be accessed by their users only who have registered. There is always something going on at the back end to make the data as clean as possible. Delete all the problems there. That is the active processing to take internal actions on data. Presentation and visualization of data. The data is stored in a very primitive way, but it is presented to us in a different way, like on the Facebook. So at the backside on the server, actually, the data is also not in this format in the database management system. We see that in the form of tables, rows and columns. It is stored in a very primitive way in the terms in using the different file organizations. We don't have to go into those details. So it's just in the form of streams of numbers and text and some images and everything. So it's very primitive, but it is shown to us in this tabular format. If we are using a relational database management system, if you are using Facebook data, then it is much more interesting. The layout is much more nice. So that is done by the DBMS. Maintaining the database. Keep on making the database in a working state. And associated programs over the lifetime of the database application. As long as we are using it, it keeps on maintaining it. And all the programs or application programs related with it. It is called database maintenance, software maintenance, or system maintenance. Let's not go into the detail. We will see it later. So this is an example of a database, university environment. We have some entities there or tables, students, course, sections, departments, instructors. So sections should be related with courses. Students should take the sections. These are the relationships. So these are individual entities. We talk in terms of that. And these entities are related. Section is related to courses. Students are related with sections and courses. Courses may have other prerequisite courses, so there should be a relationship there. Instructor teaches the sections of the courses. Courses are related with department. Students major in department. So we will know how to establish those relationships. We will learn later from next week onwards. So all these entities and relationships are typically expressed in with the form of a conceptual data model, not the relational data model, conceptual data model, which is more in a pictorial representation of data, which we will learn from next week onwards. That's the first step of creating a database. So that is called entity relationship modeling, which we will learn a little bit later. This is one example of relational database, right? Because here the data is organized in the form of tables. So we have courses, sections, grade report, prerequisite. You have already seen the courses. You have sections. Here, I don't think we have the concept of sections. You can see sections as lap sections. You all cannot go together at one time. We don't have that big. So you are divided into groups. These are sections. And then which student has taken which grade in which section or course. And there are prerequisites. You have to pass some courses to take another course. For example, you cannot take CS3380 until you pass CS3320. I'm sure you have such kind of courses in your program also. Now, these are the characteristics of a database system. So, the first most important characteristic is self-describing nature of a database system, which is actually the metadata we talked about. So, every database management system, we have a metadata. And actually, it helps us to know everything. We don't need to specify many of the things. For example, have you taken any other programming course before? Some of you? C programming? C++? JavaScript? If you are not using a database, then where you are storing the data? You have some text files? Yeah, somewhere. So, there is some part but where you are storing the data, but if you are using the text files, for example, in case of C programs or C++, if you need to keep, suppose, 10 students' data, you are using a simple text file or some kind of file, and there you are storing. Or maybe you can have the end of record marker here. This was the time before the databases. If you want to store some data, it's just the streams of data or in the form of structures in C++. We have those kind of thing. Now, in this case, if we want to retrieve the data, we need to know exactly what is the structure of the data. That a record is, for example, 40 bytes long. From bytes 1 to byte something, there is a student ID. From byte something to byte something, there is a student name. So your program or you, the programmer, need to know the detail how the data is stored. So if you want to access, you need to specify each and everything. Because there is no details here in the file itself. It's just the streams with end of record marker. So, while accessing, you need to specify everything. How long is the student ID? How long is the student name? How long is the department number or employee ID or whatever? And while storing also, you need to know where is the end of file. And then you store the next record there. If you want to delete, you need to first check sequentially. Or if you know each record's length, then do some manipulation. Know where that fourth record starts and then delete the information from there. So it's much, much, much more complicated in those file-oriented systems. Nowadays, in the database management system, because the data is stored in this form, and in the metadata, we have all information. For example, if we have this employee table, then in the metadata, we have one entry related with employee table, who is the owner, who created it, What is the record type, which actually specify how many columns are there, what's the fields, what's the length of the field, in which order these fields are. So all the information is here in the metadata. So when you want to access the data, you don't have to specify anything. We just say you just need to write these four words and you can access all the data. Are we specifying anywhere record type? Are we specifying anywhere that EID is a number 11 digit long, or the name is this much characters long? We don't have to specify anything. This is a SQL command to read the data from your employee file. So it's just this. You don't need to know the structure, how many columns, what's the type, what's the length. In file system, you need to know everything. To read from this file, you need at least 6-8 lines program to read from here. At least 6-8 lines. But from this, you just need this. Select means view, star means everything from this file. That's all. That is possible because of metadata, which we also call as catalog, system catalog. So because DBMS, whenever a new file is created or relation or table is created, metadata is automatically stored by the database management system. So we don't have to specify subsequently the structure of our data while accessing, deleting, updating, manipulating, whatever we want to do. So that is the most important thing which differentiate between traditional file-oriented approach with this database approach of keeping the data. It makes our job much more easier. And that's why SQL is very easy to learn, because you don't need to go with the details. You just need to know which table and what you want to do. That's all. Insulation between program and data. Whatever I have just explained is actually insulation between program and data. That if the data changes, suppose if there is one more column and which tells the employee phone number. In the case of file-oriented system, if this is here, the file will change. The previous program, 6 or 8 line program you have written to access the data from the file will work? No, it won't work, because your data changed. You added one more column or one more field to every record, and your previous program didn't know that. So you need to make the changes in the program so that it can access now updated data. But in case of database management system, the same statement will work. Even if you will add some columns, you change the length of the column, or you change the type of the column, or if you delete a column, the same statement will go on working, which was not case in that case. So there was, in earlier traditional file-oriented approach, there was no insulation between program or data. If your data changes, your program has to change. Otherwise, it cannot successfully access your data. But in case of database systems, there is an insulation between program and data. If your data changes, most of your programs, in 99.9% of the cases, will keep on working without any problem because of this metadata. This is an example of a metadata or catalog. Can you see? There is a table related with relations. It shows which tables or files are created inside the database environment. So it says that there are four different tables created and the number of columns in each of those tables. And there is another one which gives you the details of every column. Name is a character type. You can store maximum 30 characters. And this column belongs to student file. And this is just a simplistic representation of the system catalog. It is much more complicated. It has owners and all other access details as well. So when we want to access something from the student table, the database management system first look at the metadata, get the details about your student tables and its columns from here, and then get the data according to these details and show it back to you in this simple format, that is tabular representation. Okay? A table itself is called a relation. Actually, if you see from English terms, we are establishing the relationships between the relations, which we also call with the name of tables. So table is relation, and when we are talking about English word relation, that means relationship here. You are establishing the relationships between the tables or relations. So tables are called relations and relationships are relationships. So don't confuse that English relation with this relation. Here the relation means this is a relation or a table. And this is a relationship. Okay? Did I answer? So, we have, these are the main characteristics, data abstraction. A data model is, we will talk about data model in the next. I'm not going to explain everything because I think I have confused you enough. So, it actually hides the storage detail. We see the data in this simple format because all the details are hidden behind. And those details are taken care by the DBMS software, that is MySQL, I already erased it. Supports of multiple view of data. Each user may have different view. For example, just last 5-10 minutes, then we are finishing. Actually, you may not understand this very well because here there is no concept of fee, right? In the universities, you don't pay fee. Do you pay fee? But imagine you are working in a... Yeah. Okay. Suppose there are two different offices in our university. One is the student office and they are taking care of this part. How many students are enrolled? what are the courses, which student is enrolled in which courses and getting what grade. There is another part which is the finance part, accounts department, and they are keeping track of how many students are enrolled and which student has paid how much fee on which date, how much is the outstanding amount, etc. So this office will not be interested in course or grades and everything, will they? No, right? And this office will not be interested in finance part, right? So this is one group of users. They have this view of the data. They can only see this data. This office or group of users have this view of data. Now, inside the database management system, what will be the data stored? I think so. I'll take a picture. So we will have four tables, because if you see, there is one common table between both group of users, isn't it? Now, inside the database management system, although it looks there are five tables, but there are not five tables, there are only four tables. One of the table they are sharing, that is the student table. So how it will be done? So these three can be accessed by this group of users, and that is their view, and these two can be accessed by this group of users, and it is their view. So there can be, they are sharing one of the table, and then they have some of the tables which are their own. Why we are sharing, why we are not creating two copies of the student? First of all, waste of memory space. If there are hundreds and thousands of students, then you may have to store it at two places. Second, data inconsistency. If you will have two copies, you need to always take care that if something changes in one, it should change in another as well. Otherwise, you will have two student data showing something different in both places. So there need to be a consistency, and that's why we don't encourage in the database environment redundancy or duplication. We try to minimize the duplication and we try to share wherever it is possible. We talked about this little bit before, sharing of data, because there are multiple users, they are sharing. And there can be concurrent problem. The example I have given about the airline. So it needs to be taken care by the database management system. Then we have different type of users, and we are going to talk about them next time. Thank you very much. Thanks for your patience. We are going to meet with one group today in the afternoon at 1 for the lab MU401, if I remember correctly.